Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
916-909-1320. You could jump in the chatty house as well over on twitch.tv/ESPN1320, youtube.com/ESPN1320. But that article on the subscription-based publication, The Athletic, that you were just referencing there a moment ago, bringing up different trade proposals. This all started with me kind of chuckling at the idea that Jaylen Brown is going to want out of Boston, or that Boston's going to want Jaylen Brown out of there. But it does pose the question that I asked you, and I think we got sidetracked because we really started talking about Trae Young a lot. But do you think a star is traded this offseason? And Jaylen, you know, Trae was kind of one people may have lightly kept an eye on. Luka, far more far-fetched, but people were looking at Dallas like, and we'll get to Dallas later, like, how the hell are they going to get better? And you've got this situation with Jaylen Brown where there's a belief that he doesn't like being in Boston, be it with the Celtics or kind of playing behind Jason Tatum a little bit, and there's a strong belief that he doesn't like being in the city of Boston. So he's at the top. He's entering the final year of his contract, though I believe that can change. I think he can get an extension now as soon as the season's over because of his supermax status through All-NBA. But year after year after year after year, big stars are moved. Is this year the exception where that doesn't happen?
I thought maybe a month ago that this was a year that we would see young stars traded because...
Like a Luka type?
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's a stack of them. So you could say Trae, you could say Luka, you could say Zion, you could say Kat. Like all of these younger...
Kat's a fascinating one.
We could see a musical chairs type thing where everybody is just shifted to different teams. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I certainly think that there's enough like out there that you're like, okay, maybe each of these teams are going to say, okay, I'll give it one more year. I'll give the Zion experiment one more year. I'll give the Trae Young one more year. We'll see if Quinn Snyder can be the guy who sets him straight, even though the other guys weren't. You know, even the Kat situation, there was so much time missed between everybody there that you want to see it for one more year. But I don't know.
You sure about that?
With Kat?
Yeah. Well, I think it's Kat, but are you sure about that with Minnesota?
I think Minnesota's a mess.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, I think they're a mess. There's nothing you could do once you traded for Rudy Gobert. Like, you're not getting your money back out of the Rudy Gobert situation. Mm-hmm. Like, that's sunk cost.
Yep.
You know, sunk cost fallacy. Like, it is what it is. Like, you can't. There's no way to go back and get four first-round picks for him. No one will give you that deal. So, yeah, I think we're in a weird time. And I do think stars will change teams because they always do. You know, this will be another summer where we see players move that you're surprised by.
Yeah, I definitely think, I mean, stars, I guess, is a relative word. But, I mean, James Harden and Kyrie Irving are free agents, whether I like it or not. James Harden is a star. Whether he's that level of player anymore probably remains to be seen, but he certainly is a star. I think Kyrie is a massive star. I'm anxious to see, you know, we'll get to the rumors around James Harden. When you talk about agents out there doing work, I'm sure people saw the James Harden report. Kyrie was on IG Live yesterday.
Yeah, that was interesting. I saw that.
I don't know what he was talking about. I feel like I missed. I feel like I got Kyrie's response to something, but I missed what he was responding to.
I think it's the all the Windhorse, like they can fit, LA can fit him in. And so I think people were tagging him and like saying, hey, are you coming to the Lakers? Or hey, are you coming back to Dallas? Then we see this saying that the Dallas Mavericks think that they're going to be able to reshape their entire roster with the number 10 pick and then bring back Kyrie and find some way to make some other miracle trade. Maybe they will, because every time I think that teams can't do it, they seem to figure out a way to do it. Like, you know, it every year you're like, that didn't make any sense. I don't know how that just happened, and I didn't see that coming. And sure enough, there they are. You're just like, you're stunned by it. You're like, wow, I didn't think that was going to actually happen.
Speaking of stars changing teams, so much was made of LeBron and his remarks at the end of his press conference. And LeBron was stealing the spotlight away from Denver. LeBron was trying to take attention off the fact he was just swept out of the playoffs. And then there was this one. LeBron James wants a trade. And this is how he was doing it. I heard, and I'm not going to say from who, but everyone can guess. I heard someone go on their radio show and say that LeBron James, this what he did in that post-game press conference, was the first step in forcing a trade to the Golden State Warriors.
I love it.
Come on, man. Everything in the world doesn't revolve around you guys. Okay, you got to stop doing this. Have to stop doing this.
Would, if he did do this, and we saw the reaction that Kevin Durant got when he, would it diminish LeBron James's legacy? Would his legacy be completely diminished if he decided to go to the Golden State Warriors to try to win one more ring?
Look at James.
Just a ring chaser.
Hey, Bristol is on the phone for you right now.
Just a ring chaser.
Oh, man.
No, come on now.
I could not believe that. I was like, God, please stop this. Please stop this. LeBron James is not trying to force a trade to the Golden State Warriors. LeBron James isn't. The simplest explanation is always, it always worked. Like you, but you've got to ignore it. LeBron James is about to turn 39 years old in December. He had just played like 48 minutes, 40, 10, and 9, or whatever he ultimately had. Maybe he was just tired, dude. Like, maybe the season, the injury, the rehab, the thought that he might have surgery here in the coming weeks, all of that, maybe that's why he was like, man, I got a lot to think about.
Maybe he was just disappointed that he lost the series.
Everyone said LeBron James was stealing the spotlight for Denver, or taking the focus off the fact that he was swept. When in reality, LeBron James just told you how he felt, and you decided to talk about LeBron James over the Denver Nuggets. You decided to not talk about Nikola Jokic in the A block of your little radio show or your podcast or your television show. It was your decision. It was not LeBron James's decision. It was yours. LeBron was tired. He was not trying to force a trade to the Golden State Warriors, who, by the way, he eliminated. And Kyle Mattson's listening, and he keeps texting me these stupid trade proposals for Jordan Poole and Jonathan Kuminga. The answer to all of them, Kyle,
they're worth gold,
is no. Though I like Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole's Kuminga, I'm so curious about. I'd love to see Jonathan Kuminga here.
I'm not saying that
Rashawn Holmes for Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, I'm not saying that Kuminga is a complete bust and that he's worthless. What I'm saying is that, like, it's not working there, and his value is like 40 cents on the dollar compared to where you drafted him. It is like, can you get the 24th pick for Jonathan Kuminga? And would a team like the Kings, who have aspirations to be a really good team, would they consider something like that? And the answer is probably not. Well, maybe, but it just depends on how much they value him and, you know, what Mike Brown thought of Jonathan Kuminga, he saw behind the scenes as an assistant coach there for a couple of years. I still, like, that's really, really crazy.
All kidding aside, wouldn't Rashawn work really well in Golden State? Like, Rashawn, finding the right spot for him is difficult. I feel like Golden State works, but maybe I just like Rashawn Holmes, and maybe it doesn't.
Okay, so, like, I like to be, like, completely blunt and honest in these situations, and I'm just going to say that wherever Rashawn Holmes goes at this point, it has nothing to do with Rashawn Holmes as the player. Like, he realistically hasn't played in a year and a half. Mm-hmm. There is no value there. The Kings understand that. Anything that Rashawn Holmes can bring to a team, and I'm not saying Rashawn Holmes is a bad player. I'm saying that, like, his time with the Sacramento Kings came and went, and every team in the league looks at it that way as well. They could like him as a potential player, but on a buyout contract. But at this point, any value that he has as a player, unfortunately, is going to have to be rebuilt by him. And I don't know. He needs to show that he can still be that type of player. I mean, he just got beat out by Chimezie Metu and Alex Len all season long.
Yeah.
And for playing time behind Domas. And I'm not, like, calling Rashawn out because I don't know. Like, the inner workings of what happened there is one thing, but you didn't even have a moment where the Kings gave him an honest shot to try to showcase him and build value in him so they could actually try to trade him. They literally just stopped using him at all. And it's not so he didn't get hurt. I mean, this is, like, we've seen it happen with other players where, like, Kenny Thomas barely played at all in the final years of his career with Sacramento. Like, he was a contract that was supposed to be an expiring contract that you could trade at, like, $8 million. No one ever traded for it. Mm-hmm. Like, it expired. And so that's where you're at with Rich. And it's not, again, I'm not calling Rich out. I'm saying that that's the reality of his situation as an NBA player. If he makes it back to the league, into a rotation in the league, it's going to have to be as a player who gets bought out or gets traded to a situation that just happens to need some minutes here and there, and he ends up being really good for them and, like, rediscovers who he was as a player, like, 4 years ago when he was such a great find for the Sacramento Kings.
We've talked about the older teams in the Western Conference. What about the younger ones? We'll dive into that when Dealing with KC with James Hamm returns here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
D'Lo and KC continues. Streaming live on the Odyssey app.
Shout out to Troy Payne of Equity Basketball. That's James Harden's agent.
Oh.
And I gotta believe that it was Mr. Payne and Equity Basketball who floated that four-year, $200 million deal out there. Because there is exactly one team that I think is willing to offer that contract. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But he's been linked to the Houston Rockets since before the freaking season started. There's a report today that Philadelphia has no desire to offer James Harden a max contract. And that's his boy in Daryl Morey there in Philadelphia. And even they're like, I don't know about that. So shout out to Troy Payne, because any contract details that you get at this time of the year are coming from agents.
What if I told you there's not one team that wants to give him a four-year, $200 million contract?
Got to believe that it's there's one.
What if I told you that there's not, that that's an agent trying to talk $200 million into existence?
You don't think he'll get that from Houston?
Why would Houston give him that?
I have no idea why Houston even wants him. I really don't. And I understand.
I agree
James
with you.
Harden is one of the greatest guards we've ever seen. I got that. Man, I wouldn't do it.
No,
I wouldn't do it.
I'm just saying, like, I
Paul George I wouldn't do it either. Like Paul George said I wouldn't bring him back.
Like, we kept hearing for months and months and months that Rashawn Holmes was getting a four-year, $80 million contract. Months. Like, it started early in the year. He got a, and then we were even told that he got a four-year, $55 million contract.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. That was if he got traded twice.
It was like, wait, that's not possible.
15% trade kicker.
That was an NFL announcement where they announced the entire deal of every single thing. Oh, I forgot he has a trade kicker. How did, wow.
Well,
I
see, the Kings absorbed the trade kicker there.
But
so.
Isn't that trade kicker, is it gone? Is it for the duration of the contract or was it for the first 2 years?
No, it's for the duration, but I don't believe it counts for the player option year. So the trade kicker is a 15% trade kicker, which would basically be like an additional like $1.8 million or something, or $1.65 million. It wouldn't be that bad. So because his contract's $12 million and it's for the years that are guaranteed. And so if you do it at the beginning of the contract, if you signed him and then traded him when his contract was $47 million, even you take away the last year, that would have put his... So at like $34 million, a 15% trade kicker on $34 million is like $4.7 million. So that's where we're getting that higher dollar figure that they were quoting, and that was given to me. It was given to Shams. It was given to me as a higher dollar figure. But you can't say that we couldn't have told that. First of all, the Kings never negotiate. They don't tell you contract negotiations. You got to go get that stuff afterwards from other people, right? But then the way that it was going to work out was we kind of had to believe that guy. And there were mechanisms in place where the Kings could clear out salary cap space and actually clear salary cap and then go sign him. It didn't have to be the early bird exception that they were signing Holmes to. So I was like, okay, well, maybe they're trading Marvin Bagley to somebody and not taking back money. And they have another deal worked out where they're actually going to clear up some cap space and actually sign him. But that's not what happened. It was just an agent that was like doing some really strange math with like a gigantic upside down abacus.
I don't remember what the number was, but you mentioned him earlier. There was a Josh Hart number out there too.
18 million starting salary. That's what I saw this morning. There was a rumor of an $18 million starting.
That's a hefty number, right, for him?
It's a hefty number, but you're talking about a guy who made $13 million this last year. So, I mean, how hefty is it? Is it out of the realm? Again, we keep talking about salary cap going up, and we're talking about a player who plays for a team that's already above the cap. Mm-hmm. So any money that he does sign for is going to be Larry Bird stuff. They own his rights. They'll be able to go up and above the salary cap to do it. So maybe that's what he gets. But that's danger zone. And that's where, again, if you're Harrison Barnes's agent, you're looking at it going, hey,
yeah,
like this dude's getting that much money. Where's my money?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, go ahead and get that money somewhere else. Where are you going to find that? And if you can't, come back and talk to us.
916-909-1320 if you want to get in on the conversation. If you're a business out there and you'd like to sponsor Kamara's Daily Call in here to the show, just contact me directly. You don't even have to contact Rich Ripley anymore. Just contact me directly, and we'll get you set up, and you can be the sponsor for Kamara's Daily Call. Kamara, what's going on, man?
Well, just let them know when they contact you directly, you won't return their call. So let's go with it. Oh, that's just me.
Oh, stop it. That's not true. That's Cap.
That's
Cap. This man out here lying to everybody.
Okay. Just, all right. AT&T knows the truth. All right. Anyway. I was going
to. Kamara called me at 4:05 because he wants to continue the conversation about the Sacramento Kings, not really realizing I have no desire to talk for the next 4 days.
Oh, okay.
Like, I would just prefer to sit in straight silence for four straight days.
He wasn't calling to invite you to Vegas with your plane ticket
not what he was
and
doing.
Your hotel stay and,
nope.
and your
it's
boxing.
All, no, it's a trade proposal.
Okay, I'm just, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Kamara. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Kamara.
No, I was just fascinated with the conversation with that joining Cliff Mannix and how he, like you said, the quiet part out loud. The clip circulating. But it's weird because, like, as a Sacramento Kings fan, this is kind of known, right? Like, they don't, unless you're the Lakers or, you know, the Boston Celtics, the New York Knicks, like, they don't pay attention to basketball. You have people watching Sacramento Kings in a playoff. Stephen A. Smith said, I didn't even know this team was this good. Now, this team was a 3 seed for 67% of the season, and there are people who get paid millions of dollars, literally said, I never even watched this team. And so, you know, it's something about NBA media, which is so disheartening, because if you watch NFL, they can talk about all 32 teams, and they don't care. They're not, you know, concerned with a city or a locale. Like, they don't just focus on the LA Rams or the LA Chargers, right?
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
focused on, you know, every single NFL team. But for the NBA, it is such a hard concept for them to consider other franchises that are not located in New York, LA, or you know, Boston, or even Philadelphia. Like, it's really hard for them.
Yeah, I think it's less the locales, Kamara, and more the, I mean, the locales, maybe they are a big part of it, but I think it's more like the players. Like, they'll be an uptick in Oklahoma City Thunder coverage if LeBron James went there. San Antonio is about to get an uptick in coverage, in national coverage, because Victor Wembanyama is going to be there. The frustrating part about that is, again, it goes back to who establishes the stars. The stars or the media. Darren was a star all season. And I'll never forget Stephen A. It's exactly what Kamara was talking about right there. I owe that brother an apology. Like, you didn't watch him. Like, he had the reaction of someone who saw De'Aaron Fox play for the very first time after game one, or it might have been after game two at this point. That's all that was. And Chris Mannix said today that the Nuggets aren't interesting. There's no interesting story. There's no interesting player. Like, there's nothing interesting about them. And that's why people are talking about LeBron James instead. And it really is a fascinating comparison to the NFL, because this is not a problem in the NFL. When Joe Burrow went up there in Cincinnati and started lighting things up, they had no problem in-depthly discussing the Cincinnati Bengals. Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, same way. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, that's easy. Like, if there's a good, they were covering Gardner Minshew in the Jacksonville Jaguars like he was going to be something in the league. But it seems to only be a problem in the NBA, and I don't know why that is.
Okay, so when we're talking about, it really does depend. Like, when you talk about NBA media, you know, the guys like myself who are there every day and who are working and covering a team and all that stuff, like, we watch other teams and we mm-hmm. watch some other basketball, right? But we're also so hyper-focused on the team that we're covering, because it's not just that we've got a game on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. It's that we have practice on Tuesday, shoot around on Wednesday morning, practice on Thursday. Like the week is much bigger than what people think. Even like a normal game day, you'd like, okay, like, I get to the arena at like 10:30 in the morning, and I sometimes I come back here and I go on on the air with you, but mm-hmm. then I'm back at the arena from 4 o'clock until, or 4:30 until 11 o'clock at night. Like, these days are like 16, 18 hour days covering a team. And so you're not going to get like a general, like how many, like a full scope from someone like me on every single team in the NBA. Do I know the NBA really well? Absolutely. Have I watched every single team in the NBA? Absolutely. I watch each of them at least twice a year with the Kings, some of them three times, some of them four times. And then on top of that, I watch other games as well. The NFL, on the other hand, is games, one game a week. Either it's Sunday or it's Monday. Then we throw in this stupid Thursday game, but realistically, it's Sunday or Monday. And the times are where everyone can watch. Even if you start watching like the morning games, all of us have on the morning game and Red Zone mm-hmm. or Red Zone, and you're just watching that play. So you're getting a taste of every single team every single time. There isn't a Red Zone for the NBA, which is something that they need to do, where they throw up every game and it's all a bunch of like Brady Bunch squares and you
I
can
sit there
and watch games.
Yeah, I love
and you
that
can
idea.
Go click on a game and it opens up and you see that game and then shrink it back down and go to a different game. That would be cool, right?
You could do that on the app, yeah.
Yeah, so that might be something that like would help expand the knowledge. But when we're talking about a radio show at 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, Eastern time, that's going on, you know, in Boston, and they're talking about the games the night before, and you have like six games, and some of them started at 10 o'clock at night your time, and you're not staying up until 1 o'clock in the morning digesting the three or four games and watching them on multiple screens so you can talk about it the next morning. That's why I think we have a disconnect. We have a bunch of people who watch a lot of East Coast basketball that are talking about the sport on the East Coast. And they're not in California waiting up, staying up and watching every Kings, every Clippers, every Warriors, every Suns game. Like, that's just every Portland game. They're not watching them because they come on way later. And then there's multiple games and you're trying to digest everything. So do they catch some of the games? Sure they do. But I don't think any of these guys are staying up until 4 o'clock in the morning, rewatching every single game that went on the night before, where the NFL literally starts at 10 o'clock in the morning West Coast time and goes until, you know, the late game. But you have so much time to digest. You have so many ways that you can watch multiple games. And it's a slower sport. Like, there's a 45-second clock between every play mm-hmm. where the NFL, in the NFL, Major League Baseball, there's a clock running that's trying to speed up the game, but there's still so much you can watch. You can watch baseball. You can watch five baseball games at one time and just sit there and watch a whole wall of baseball games and get a really good feel for what's happening. You can't do that.
Chances are all five of them, nothing's happening.
Well, exactly. But the NBA, you can't watch five or six games at one time because it's back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So, yeah.
I think Kamara's argument, though, was – or Kamara's frustration was if you're – it's one thing if you're James Hamm. If you're James Hamm, you want supreme Kings content. That's where you're going. You're going to James Hamm for that.
Yeah.
But if you're turning on ESPN and you want a perspective on the NBA, you're not going to get that. You'll get, because you talk about like tip times and West Coast games, you're going to get a perspective on the Golden State Warriors and you're going to get a perspective on the Los Angeles Lakers because of LeBron James and because of Steph Curry. Otherwise, if the thing about start times and being up late and all this stuff, then you can't be called an NBA analyst. You could be called an NBA Eastern Conference analyst. You can be called a NBA superstar analyst, but you can't be called an NBA analyst if you can't tell us why the Sacramento Kings did something like the entire year. What did they do that was special? You knew about the beam, but what else did you know? And judging by the first round playoff series against the Golden State Warriors, you didn't know anything. And I think that was the frustration Kamara was talking about. And that's kind of the lame stuff from Chris Mannix. I don't love, like, there are reasons that I don't love to, like, watch Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic borders on clumsy to me. And it's one of the most incredible things you'll ever see for a dude who's going to go for 40, 17, and 17. And I'll say this, He might stumble seven times before throwing the most beautiful pass you've ever seen. He can see things that I think only a handful of point guards in the league can see. And they're good. When they're making shots at the rate in which they did, like Jamal Murray having the games that he had, that to me is exciting. That's fun. I also think their crowd is lame, but that's a different that's a different story. Like there's the Nuggets aren't the Spurs of old. That Spurs team was boring, and they were boring by design. Pop was boring. Tim Duncan was boring. Their stars were boring. Jokic isn't. Michael Malone's going to give you sound bites. Jamal Murray is exciting. You just made the decision, Chris Mannix, you made the decision to not watch and to not invest, and you're framing it as if they're not interesting. You're not interested in them. That's not the same thing.
I fully agree. I think it's lazy.
That's really 100% what it is.
It is. It's lazy because if you can't find joy in watching Nikola Jokic, then what are you watching? Because, I mean, this is like half of the things he does, half of the passes he does are like Harlem Globetrotter stuff. I mean, this dude is grabbing a rebound under the basket and launching it 75 feet down the court to a guy running in stride who dunks it. If you can't find beauty in what Nikola Jokic is doing, it's because you didn't watch. That's it. Mm-hmm. Really, it's lazy. It's him like not investing the time and the energy to actually focus on what's happening. Like again, you can look at Keegan Murray this season, and you could, if you're not watching him play and you're just looking at the box score and you're like, okay, like why was this guy the number four pick? He's only averaging 12 points a game. He's only, you know, he's not getting a bunch of assists. There's a couple of games where he got some decent rebound numbers. He hit a bunch of threes, so maybe you could focus on that. But if you're just looking at him and saying, oh, look, he only averages 12 points a game, the Kings blew it because Jaden Ivey's averaging more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just a really, really low-budget analysis of what Keegan Murray brought to the Sacramento Kings. You have to watch what he does. You have to watch that he defends multiple positions. You have to watch that he's doing what he did, playing almost 30 minutes a night on the third seed in the Western Conference, where Paolo Banchero is putting up 20, an inefficient 20 and 8, but he's doing it on a bad team. And so there's no real like substance to what he's doing as of right now. And I'm not calling out Paolo Banchero. It's a situation he's in. But if you're not looking at situations, if you're not studying the why of the player, you're just looking at the box score, you're just looking at the highlight package, which is Keegan shooting a three, which isn't sexy, it isn't imaginative. It's him launching a three, which you can see a million other players do on any given night in the NBA. You're missing the whole entire story. And that's what I think a lot of these guys are doing. They're just flat out missing it. And then they get to a big game where they are covering, they're like, oh, he's just got such a calm demeanor. It's like a calm demeanor, or he lacks all personality, or he is so guarded that he won't talk to anyone. Like, these are things, like, that's not who he, it's not some calm personality. Like, there's all kinds of things going on in that kid's head. You can see it. He just isn't moving his face and showing it. So, like, I think there's so much that's missed by so many people that just aren't doing the work, that aren't watching the game the same way.
And that's what it comes down to, I think, is it comes down to the amount of work, because this is where, you know, Chris Mannix remarked, you know, Kamara used the line, you know, he said the quiet part out loud. This is where people kind of like tell on themselves, because the Lakers, had the Lakers beat the Denver Nuggets, they would have done it through defense. And we said this after game one. Game one, it was like 130-something to 126. And we said the next day, that's probably not happening again. That's not the way either of those two teams play. And you didn't see anything like that the rest of the series. The Lakers were extremely competitive in all four games. And part of the reason they were able to be in all of those four games was because of what they could do defensively. They were going to win that series by scoring 108 points and shutting probably Jamal Murray down, because it wasn't going to be Nikola Jokic. And you tell me what's exciting about that. Outside the fact, it's the Lakers and LeBron James. You want to talk excitement? You get excitement if it's the Golden State Warriors, because if the Golden State Warriors are winning, they probably scored 120 points per game. You get excitement with the Sacramento Kings, because if they won their series, if they advanced in the playoffs, if they were headed to the NBA Finals, it's because James Hamm would come in here, Will Z would have put a graphic up that said the Sacramento Kings are averaging 121 points so far in the playoffs. That's exciting. But you're in love with the jersey. You're in love with LeBron James. It's not the play. It's not the style of game. It's who's playing that game. And the difference is that's Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets. They were playing virtually the same style. Jamal Murray hit more shots. Nikola Jokic hit some crazy backbreakers to destroy the Lakers. And that was the difference. It wasn't a style that was different, which is one of the many reasons why Mannix's remarks were so dumb.
Yeah, I'll put it like we've talked about this a couple of times, the perspective of watching the flashy versus the just stable, like the Malik Monk putting up 15 points or 13 points in a game, and you remember every single one of
every
them.
Every one of them.
And then Trey Lyles has 16, and you don't remember
any of them. Can't remember any of them.
Yeah. It's the way that we've been spoon-fed this, that we're supposed to look for the highlight. We're always supposed to look for the highlight.
Or you gravitate towards it. Like, I gravitate towards Malik because of the emotion.
Oh, yeah.
I think Trey could hit 23s in a game, and him and Keegan would have, they might accidentally smile. Malik hit 4. Everyone in the building's going to know.
Yeah.
Home or away, everyone's going to know. It's just a different... I think it creates a different emotional investment, because look at all of the pictures I take. I'm putting up Malik's 3. I love that dude.
Yep.
I'm not going to make a sheepish grin like Keegan Murray because I love the 200 plus threes that he hit. Like, I don't, you know what I mean?
Who hit more
like,
threes?
Yeah.
It's Keegan Murray.
Keegan.
Probably. It's Kevin
Herter.
Like, they hit more threes. And you can even look at like a lot of the advanced statistics. Statistically speaking, these other players, they can be much better. And so, I don't know. It's, again, I think we've been conditioned to watch for the flashy, to watch for the highlight reel. And if the highlight reel isn't there, then what are we watching?
I just don't think the Lakers are a highlight reel, though. That's where the whole thing misses.
But they were at one point. We're watching the residuals of years and years of highlight reels of LeBron James. We're watching people hold on to the past.
It's like Mannix didn't see what Jokic did. And I'm just talking about in the series. I'm not even talking about in the season. The plays I remember most were from Jokic and Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
LeBron's fumbled dunk sticks out too, but I remember AD's stat line from game one. I can't say I can remember, ooh, AD did this, but I remember a really impressive stat line.
Yeah.
It's just, to me, at this point, what Mannix gave was an excuse. And I think a lot of what these guys do is they try to protect their original opinion. Like if they thought, and I don't know what Mannix thought, but if they thought the Lakers were going to the finals, or the Warriors were going to the finals, or the Suns were going to the finals, they're trying to protect that opinion by saying, well, the Nuggets... blah, blah, blah. They're boring. They're not exciting. No one wants to watch that. No, you were focused on your Phoenix Suns, or you were focused on your Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah.
So you weren't paying attention to Denver. And it goes back to, we see it in the NFL with, Mac Jones and Trey Lance. There were reporters a year later still trying to tell you that Kyle Shanahan wanted to select Mac Jones with the San Francisco 49ers pick. Just to protect the fact that they all look like jackasses, saying Mac Jones is going number, I don't remember even what
three.
Number it was, 3. Mac Jones is going number 3. He's going number 3.
It's the, I wasn't wrong, I was mistaken.
Something changed.
Yeah, something.
Something changed.
At the last second.
Something changed, because I was right. I reported it. I was right. We all reported it. Something changed. I don't know what changed. Nikola Jokic came along and took over the league. Something changed. I wasn't ready for it. That's what's happening to Chris Mannix and some of these other guys right now. I mentioned talking about some of the younger teams in the NBA. I definitely want to do that. I think there's some really, really intriguing ones, including in the Western Conference. And do the Las Vegas Raiders have a week one quarterback problem?
Oh, no.
I read that like Mike Greenberg, and I kind of hate myself for it. I'm kind of angry I did that. My sincerest apologies to everybody listening. We'll come back. It's D'Lo and KC with James Hamm sitting in here for Kenny Caraway on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC continues, streaming live on the Odyssey app.
I put your Employee of the Month McDowell's picture on my Instagram story, and I'm very proud of it. I also put it on D'Lo and Casey's Instagram page, and I'm just very proud of that. I'm very proud of you for winning Employee of the Month, but I'm very proud of Dr. David for putting this photo together.
That was one of Dr. David's best photoshops right there.
This is fine. This is fine work. Oh, I love Dr. David, man. When you think of garbage, think of Jesse. When you think of garbage, you think of Akeem. God, I love that movie.
I'll still take Beverly Hills Cop 1 over it, though.
I like Beverly Hills Cop 2. I think Beverly Hills Cop is terrific. 916-909-1320. Mentioned the Raiders may not have a starting quarterback for week one, or at least it might not be who we thought it would be. Apparently, Jimmy Garoppolo had foot surgery in March. And to make it even more fun, there is no clear timetable. Now, I gave you the greeny tease on the way to the commercial break, but indications are he's going to be ready for week one. But again, he's obviously not a part of OTAs right now. Training camp still a decent ways away. But there's no definitive timetable on when Jimmy Garoppolo will return. So, go Raiders. go Jimmy G, because this is the thing with Jimmy, right? Like, you've always got to deal with something when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo.
It's par for the course. Like, what are you doing? You replaced a franchise quarterback with a guy who was sort of a franchise quarterback who could never stay healthy. And so he was never a franchise quarterback with the previous team. Like, again, Garoppolo has his pluses. But at the same time, you have to, if I'm Devontae Adams, like, I'm demanding a trade now. Just get me out of here now. I don't want to be here for any of this. This is a mess. Go get whatever you can picks wise for me now. Just move me, get me out of here, because that's tough. That's why they've been building up the backup quarterback the whole time. Like, the young guy, is it the draft pick guy? They've been building up somebody like nonstop, and you're wondering the whole time, like, why are they building up this other guy when...
Shouldn't you be talking about Jimmy Garoppolo instead?
Yeah, and of course, no, we're not, because the dude's in a boot somewhere.
Mm.
Like, I don't know.
Sorry, Jesse.
Brian Hoyer is their backup option as well, right?
That's right. Brian Hoyer is their backup.
You never go full Patriots.
Oh, man. Unless, of course, you're Josh McDaniels in Las Vegas, and then that's exactly what you do. From The Athletic, McDaniels declined to discuss specifics. Team and league sources said Garoppolo had surgery in March after signing with the Raiders. His recovery timeline from that procedure is unknown, although McDaniels acknowledged he, quote, could be out until at least training camp. Man.
How do we not know his timeline?
So that leads me to believe, because surgeries, particularly in sports, are...
We pretty much know.
They're everyday things.
This snuck up on them too, didn't it? Because this is what caused them to delay the press conference one day.
Oh, is that right? Okay, I remember the press conference being delayed. I remember that.
Yeah, I think I read that they found something with his physical. His foot wasn't fully healed yet, so he had to go and get the surgery.
So I said he had signed right after he had surgery right after the signing. They were aware of it. They knew that there was an issue.
Probably should have pulled a giant,
but
right there. Probably just said, nope.
Well, probably shouldn't have been having the conversations anyways, but that's fine.
Nope.
It just seems like when you have a surgery, when you make the, like if you're rehabbing something, sometimes you don't know, like you don't know how the body's going to respond. So, such and such has, you know, a non-surgical injury. They're going to rehab for the next 6 weeks. They'll be evaluated at that point. Okay. Normally when you have surgery, there's a definitive timeline to follow. So that leads me to believe either this was a complicated surgery.
Or a clear amputation.
His foot's gone.
They're trying to fit him for a prosthetic foot.
Yeah. And hopefully his foot will be ready, whether real or prosthetic. By training camp. This is such a freaking Raiders story, dude. I'm so sorry to Raiders fans that you guys have to deal with this. This is because you probably weren't over the moon happy about signing Jimmy Garoppolo. And now, like, this was part of the reason why you're probably not. And you've got to deal with this before training. We're in OTAs. We've got a Jimmy Garoppolo surgery in OTAs. That's where we are. I'm sorry, Raider fans.
You know what, though? Like, Raider, it's on you, Raider fans. Like, you're the ones who stayed loyal to this group when they've always proven to not be loyal to you. So, good luck with that.
Well, they're loyal to the Raiders. They're not loyal to the Oakland Raiders or the Las Vegas Raiders. They're just loyal to the Raiders, which I admit
is weird.
That is bizarre. But
that's a little like strange.
Oakland and the crazy, like Oakland and San Francisco, like they're not, or Oakland and Los Angeles, they're not close. I mean, I guess my favorite, I guess they're all the same distance drive apart.
It's his non-throwing foot.
Thank you. man.
Is it his throwing foot? No, it's the non-throwing foot.
I guess everything's fine.
I have no idea.
I believe it's his left foot. I'll confirm. It's taking me longer to confirm than I expected.
Which foot it is?
There it is, left foot injury. Jesus, it's right there in the first sentence.
So that is his front foot.
Yep. Would that constitute his throwing foot?
No, I think
or is the back
I think
foot
your
is
back
the throwing
foot, is
foot.
Your drive foot. Yeah.
So non-throwing foot.
Non-throwing
so there you go.
Foot.
There you go. You should be ready
that
to go.
That was just floating out there anyway.
It's just... It's not doing anything.
We all know he doesn't plant that front foot. That's why he throws a high ball.
Well,
so
that's why he doesn't throw it very far either. So maybe he doesn't plant his back foot either. Speaking of quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes said he's worried about legacy and rings rather than money when he was asked about some of the recent quarterback deals. If I was Patrick Mahomes and I was clearly the best quarterback in the National Football League, I would say a stupid line like that too, because by the time Justin Herbert signs his contract, and I don't think Joe Burrow has signed his extension yet, when those two do, Patrick Mahomes will be the 10th highest paid quarterback in the National Football League, which brings me back to the day that he signed that ridiculous 10-year, quote, $500 million contract, when you didn't have to read very far to see he signed arguably the stupidest deal in the history of professional football. He's the one player at the one position that could pretty much command anything he wants to. That one position doesn't skyrocket. That's not true. That salary goes up every single year. And it goes up by increments of like $4 to $5 million every single year. Whoever's next, it's going to be Justin Herbert and it's going to be Joe Burrow. They're going to sign for a little bit more than Lamar Jackson. That's what happens. You've got guys making $30 plus, $40 plus million per year. And I think the first real, obviously Kansas City can restructure. They could tear the whole thing up and restructure anytime they want to. The only real leverage I think Patrick Mahomes has to get a restructure comes in like, we're in 2023, 2024. I think it's 2026, but it might be 2025, where there's like an influx of yearly salary that completely changes, and I think it skyrocks something like 40 or 50 million per year, and that's where he probably has the best leverage to initiate a restructure himself. But I commend his thoughts about legacy and rings, but man, he signed a sucker deal.
So he
that's going to make him a lot of money.
I missed the quote. So why don't you give me what is his quote?
So Patrick Mahomes was asked about Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson. He was asked about some of the recent quarterback contracts and essentially if he would do something different with the contract that he signed. I think it was in like 2020.
Yep.
And he said, no, I'm worried. I'm concerned about legacy. I'm concerned about winning rings. I'm concerned about winning Super Bowls. I'm not concerned about money.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Again, it's a fine thing to say when you're stuck in a deal right now.
Yeah, but...
But Patrick Mahomes shouldn't have signed that deal.
No, he shouldn't have signed that deal, but he also should have had the Jerry Rice clause that said he will always be in the top three at paid and his position.
Mm.
And that if someone else gets more money, then they restructure his deal and he gets some more money. That's what Patrick Mahomes should have done.
100%.
Now, I appreciate the fact that he's not worried about he's not attaching financial gain to his legacy. Because his legacy is going to be as one of the best, if not the best quarterback of all time when it's all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
Long as he plays another 15 years or another 10 years, whatever, 12 probably. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I would hope that he's smart enough not to attach what his legacy to how much money he makes.
Well, no, I don't.
One outside of him and his accountant and his wife should care about how much he makes.
No, his legacy is attached to what he does on the field. I mean, Tom Brady's contracts are never brought up. Like, Tom Brady signed a lot. I mean, he signed some healthy contracts for sure, but he signed a lot of very Patriot-friendly deals.
Yeah, slightly undervalued contracts.
And Lamar, I think, I don't know why I keep doing that. I'm sorry. Why Patrick Mahomes signed that 10-year deal? Because that's the only thing to this is you were the sure thing. Like, you could balloon your salary repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
And chose not to. I mean, he's not, again, my man's not starving.
No.
But
not at all.
It just seems like if there was one player in control of a market, it was Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, always. I mean, he's going to be, he'll make his money. No one needs to worry about it. He'll make his money 10 times over.
Again, I'm not worried about it. He's not poor.
Mm-mm.
I just think the narrative around that contract, because it was Patrick Mahomes, because it was 10 years, and because Schefter and a lot of those guys are stooges, they were framing it as something it wasn't. It's a $500 million contract, one of the richest contract we've ever seen in professional sports.
Until tomorrow.
Sure. Well, no, he's right. Over 10 years, it absolutely is. Over any increment of 3 or 4 years, it's not. And that's where, the whole NFL contract announcements gets manipulated. It's what you were talking about with Rashawn Holmes' contract when they announced the total and threw in the 15% trade kickers. Okay, you're fudging the numbers to make it look good for Rashawn because his agent was leaking that they wanted something closer to 80 and they didn't even top 50. But if you throw in these extra numbers, it'll look better. He just signed a very friendly 10-year, team-friendly 10-year deal. How can we make it look as good as possible? Well, let's say it's a $500 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's interesting. I remember when I was young, Jose, I believe it was either Ricky Henderson or Jose Canseco got the first $2 million contract. I think it was Ricky got the first $2 million. And the same offseason, Kirby Puckett came back and got $2.5 million. And then whichever it was, whether it was Ricky or it was Jose, I think Jose Canseco came back and got the first $3 million contract, all in the same offseason in baseball. You watched salaries go from low to those were the first big money contracts. And that's kind of what we're dealing with here. Like his contract is like that first $2 million contract, and now everyone else makes a lot more. So again, he should have had a rider put into his contract that said that he has to remain within the top three quarterback, or the top three at his position, for the remainder, and the deal will be renegotiated at whatever time. But he didn't do that, and so
there's probably two, at least right now, two guys in the NFL who can negotiate the I've got to be top three paid at my position or top five paid at my position at all times. And it's Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And as much as it turns my stomach, it's probably Aaron Rodgers. I don't know.
Not anymore. I don't believe he is anymore. People can keep giving him money. That's whatever. I mean, he's still a quality quarterback, but he's not who he was.
He's still a pretty good quarterback.
I think his assessment that he thinks that he could go lead a team to 12 wins and first two rounds of the playoffs, I think that was accurate. I don't think in the right situation, like, again, he made it very clear he wouldn't go to the San Francisco 49ers. If he was a 49ers quarterback, he'd win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, without any question. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I think. I mean, maybe I'm crazy there. I mean,
don't think you're crazy at all.
It's about the defense. It's about, you know, the skill sets around him.
This team is loaded.
Yeah.
49ers are loaded. We talked about this yesterday. That team's loaded.
I mean, Matthew Stafford went from the Lions to the Rams and won a Super Bowl
mm-hmm.
with a great defense. And, you know,
Stafford's a good quarterback.
Yeah, he's a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. Like, he's a guy who's mm-hmm. put up numbers throughout his career, but he's also on a team that could never get over the hump.
He had Calvin Johnson, who I don't think missed a pass in 8 years or 9 years of playing football, however long he played.
Yeah.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.